This episode is brought to you by Mightier. Mightier is a biofeedback-based video game platform that teaches kids to emotionally self-regulate. This leads to a significant reduction in meltdowns and parental stress. It's backed by science out of Harvard Medical and Boston Children's and has helped over 100,000 kids. For more information, visit theautismdad.com/mightier. That's theautismdad.com/MIGHTIER and use the code theautismdad22 to save 10%. Welcome to the Autism Dad Podcast. I'm Rob Gorski. For the past 7 seasons, this podcast has provided parents with education, community, resources, and validation. This season, you'll hear from parents just like you, as well as my own kids, who will offer their unique perspectives on what it's like for them to navigate the world as young autistic people. You can subscribe on any one of your favorite podcast listening apps, and for more information, to be a guest or a sponsor, please visit theautismdad.link. Welcome back. My name is Rob Gorski, and this is the Autism Dad Podcast. We have got a fantastic show for you guys today. One of the things that I have been striving to accomplish with the Autism Dad platform over the last 10 or 15 years is encouraging other dads to open up and talk about their journey, right? Not keep their feelings to themselves, communicate with their partners or their spouses, and even connect with other dads who can relate and understand, right? So we can all support each other. It's kind of an uphill battle because dads tend to not always want to open up like this. But my guest today is one of the dads out there who is encouraging other dads to talk and share their experiences. And his name is Harry Passeris. He's a really good friend of mine, and he's a fellow autism dad. He is here to talk about his brand new book called From Struggle to Strength, A Father's Journey with Autism and the Power of Hope and Positivity, as well as his personal journey towards acceptance and raising his son and how he's using what he has learned to help other dads sort of rise to the occasion and kind of come out of their shell and be the best version of themselves that they can be for their kids. So thank you all. I really appreciate it. I hope you guys enjoy the interview. Thank you for taking the time to be here. I really appreciate it. It's always awesome to have like another autism dad kind of, you know, like have a conversation with another autism dad, and you've got an amazing story, and it's a book day launch for you. So we can talk about that a little bit, but could you take a moment and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about, you know, who you are, and let's kind of talk a little bit about what your journey has been and what led you to writing your book.
Yeah, absolutely. First, let me just, because I'm probably a new face for a lot of people, let me introduce myself again. My name is Harry Passeris. I live 15 minutes from the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania airport, so I'm a big Steelers fan, but I grew up 30 miles from here in Weirton, the steel town of Weirton, West Virginia. But basically, I'm on the board of directors for locally here for the Autism Caring Center, one of the founding families for an organization called North Fayette PALS, which stands for Providing Acceptance, Love, and Support, an organization for special needs children. Locally, I'm the president here of the Parks and Rec Board, so all things social I help organize. The vice president for the Greek Orthodox Church, All Saints in Weirton, West Virginia. A lot of titles, but as I state in my book, I'm a husband and my favorite title is dad. I'm a father. And, you know, I've been now, it's been 20 years. My son's 20 years old. When my oldest son was born, I am a highly caffeinated, energetic type A. I mean, I am what I am. And I joke around in the book, I'm the type of guy that could have fun at an insurance seminar. So my wife, who is one of the definitely the largest hero, if not my son, in the story in all this, you know, early on starts seeing some oddities with our son, you know, and she felt something was a bit off. And I refused to believe it initially. It was just very hard for me to believe that my son couldn't possess the same traits that I had. I couldn't fathom someone could be impaired socially amongst everything else. And it's in the book, but, you know, eventually, after a few scenarios where we took him to some birthday parties and things like that, we start noticing significant differences from his peers. And we went and received the diagnosis. And after months and months of resisting my wife, and I know the immense pressure was on her, I felt extraordinary and palpable guilt. And I am, again, a type A. I boxed. I'm a martial artist. And my thought from that day of diagnosis, I had to process it. And every parent listening to this knows about that processing. I sat in the car driving back from the Cleveland Clinic to Pittsburgh, trying to process what was going on. And about midway through, I got fired up. And I said, that's fine. I'm going to accept what's going on, but I'm going to do everything possible to help my son and improve my son and to make him the best version of himself. And I want people to understand, you know, in the book that I'm cognizant there's no quote unquote recovery or, you know, from autism. But I do believe you could do everything you can on a daily basis to help your child. So from that midway point home, when I came home, I think I fired off to Barnes & Noble. I was trying to buy every single book I could on autism because I was hell-bent on helping my son. Now, what led to the book is a completely different story. I have been vocal in the area. I speak on behalf of fathers at some fundraisers, things like that. I was asked in 2014 to speak at an event for the Autism Notebook here in Greentree in Pittsburgh. And at the time, the Autism Notebook was founded by the current founder of the Autism Caring Center, Kelly Kane, a very dear friend of mine. It's a beacon of light here in Pittsburgh. And the speaker kind of fell short, quite frankly. They expected more of the person that was with me. He ended up like talking like 10 minutes and they had an half hour going. They said, can you get up? And I spoke longer. I don't have an issue helping people and speaking. As I was speaking, I start noticing mothers lining up. One, two, three. My first thought was, Sarah, did you say something offensive? Like, I truly thought, you know, I mean, I'll throw an obscenity here or there. And I'm like, what did I say? And then I noticed towards the end, they were all emotional. So when I finished, there had to have been 10, 12. They said, Harry, we need your help. Our husbands will not accept the diagnosis. Our kids are in the abyss. We're trying to, you know, emotionally, I see it. They were trying to handle what was going on their own with no help. And they said, can you contact, I'm not joking. I had a list. Can you contact our husbands? And I'm not shy. I said, go ahead. And that led to a multitude of different things happening. A few of them hung up on me because their ego really just got in the way. I had a coffee with many of them. I had conversations with many of them. And I had a dinner with another. And what amazed me in a few of the scenarios was the husbands really were on board, but it's such a weight on your shoulders when you first get the diagnosis. And Rob, you and I both have been there, that the stoicism was masked as not caring, is not even looking at the situation properly, when they really did. And after a conversation, they open up to their wives and they connected. At that time, I said, I think I need to write a book, but I'm glad I waited. So 2 years ago, roughly, I spoke at the Autism Caring Center's Mother's Day Conference. They had roughly around 400 mothers there. And as I was writing my speech, 50% was my son, Gus, his story, who was diagnosed. And then 50% were my points of pontification. And I'm looking down and I go, God spoke to me. This is my book. I said, I just need to put this speech on steroids and put it out there. And what I want to note for anyone that's interested in buying the book, and I'm so excited. Again, today's launch day, so I'm really pumped. I know that there is no cure. And I want to write a prescriptive how-to, because there should be none and there is none. What I try to do is bring the warrior mindset, the fighting mindset from my martial arts background into helping parents. So the themes that are predominant in my book are hope, positivity, grit, and resilience. And so I touch upon more of the mindset. And I'm an avid reader. I can't tell you, I'm really big on preaching to my sons about mindset, resilience, and perspective in life. That's what I try to deliver in the book more than I give a how-to. And I am absolutely thrilled that it's out. Early response to the book has been great. And my goal, help as many, as I know it's your goal as well, this podcast, help as many people as possible.
So, I mean, it's amazing. I have it up on, it's on Amazon right now. And, you know, one of the things that kind of struck me about our conversation before this recording, you know, when you were talking to the dads, when you said that, like, some of them, like most of them actually were plugged in, they were engaged, or they were taking it seriously. They had accepted it, but they just don't know, like, they don't know what to do. 'Cause like dads are fixers, right? What do you think was the most challenging part for them? Like, what was holding them back from being able to connect and be on the same page with their wives?
It's an awesome question. And I'll tell you what it zeroes down to. And I hope any of the mothers listening to this don't mind. With males, you have that machismo, that ego. And what was very clear to me was they go, why do I want to shackle my son with this label? And I stop them is by doing nothing, your child is stagnating and possibly regressing, which is worst case scenario. What I try to explain to them, it's not a label. It's a gateway to improvement. That was my thought. And I said, who cares what you call it? Call him a superhero. Who cares what you call it? Get the diagnosis and start moving forward. And it was kind of like etching past the male ego. And I could tell with a few of them, they were quote unquote tough guys. Mm-hmm. And I told them, I said, with all due respect, I boxed in a ring. Like I'm a black belt. I let's get past the machismo thing. That didn't matter to me. What mattered to me was helping my son. And I think having that conversation kind of etching, like kind of just sitting there and breaking away that macho facade and them understanding that it's not a label, it's a gateway to improvement. And I don't care where your child is on the spectrum, whether they're severe, moderate, mild. And the reason I say this, I've spoken enough events where I've had people come up, and I understand this, go, Harry, your child is more on the moderate side. Mine is moderate to severe. What you said doesn't apply. And I'm like, no. You can't be that myopic in your thinking. Improvement is improvement, regardless of where they're at. So what I think that conversation helped. The greatest compliment I've received in the last like 2 months, I was able to return with my book cover. They let me advertise just the book cover because it wasn't out yet at the latest Autism Caring Center Mother's Day conference. When I walked in, I saw kind of a group point at me and they ran up. There were three or four mothers and they said, your speech led to an open conversation with our husbands and we now have a better understanding. Because, you know, I think men, to your point, men want to fix things. It's funny, Rob, you said that. That's in our DNA. That's exactly how we're programmed. In doing so, though, you're handed this monumental task. Okay, you find out about your child, they're on the spectrum. I think what happens is a process overload. They kind of get stoic, quiet, maybe angry, because they're trying to figure out in their head, I need to fix this. And this isn't like sealing a crack in your ceiling. Do you know what I mean? This is something that's very weighty. So I think a lot of times that wives or mothers don't understand it. Maybe that they need space initially and they'll come too. And I think that's what I found. But a lot of it, to your point, you had a great question, was understanding that it's not a label, but it's a path to improving your child.
Yeah. One of the things that I have noticed and it doesn't matter where parents live anywhere in the world, because like I've connected with parents all over the world. And, you know, politics are different. The insurance system is different. The healthcare system is different. All that stuff is different. But there are so many common themes amongst parents, just regardless. And it's similar with dads a lot of times where they struggle with knowing what to do after diagnosis. And then you get, you know, parents in general who get kind of stuck in that place where they hear this and they're not just like, they don't know what to do. And one of the challenges that I think we have is the way that we go about presenting this diagnosis to parents. You know, like you mentioned, not to focus on the label. You know, what happens is we have to identify what's going on so that we can match it with resources and services, so that it opens doors. It's a key to opening up resources and services. And when you get this, you know, report back of, you know, your kid doesn't talk, your kid doesn't do this, or they struggle with this, or struggle with that. That's not a predictor of the future. It is, it's identifying where they are right now. It's like a baseline so that you can measure progress going forward, because you have right. to have a starting point. And like you were, you know, kind of alluding to, like, this is a starting point. And progress is progress. Not every kid is going to progress the same. Not every person is going to, you know, learn to speak if they're unable to at that time, but some people will. And progress doesn't mean they're going to talk. It might mean that they find ways to communicate, or they are great at the piano, or, you know, whatever it is. Progress is progress. And, you know, we're both friends with Kate Swenson, right? Finding Cooper's Voice. And right. and one of the things that, you know, her and I have talked about a couple of times is, like, you know, things get better, but we have to be open to what better means. You know, it doesn't mean that we're going to be without challenge, or there's never going to be meltdowns, or your kid is going to, you know, no longer have some of these things to overcome, or the sensory stuff is going to go away. It just means that, you know, maybe they find ways to better tolerate something, or they learn skills that help them to better navigate the world, or you evolve in such a way that you're better able to manage the things that you need to manage, right? It just gets, it's better. But I think we get so focused on better meaning one specific thing, and that better is the same thing for everybody, that people feel lost, you know, and dads get stuck in this place where, you know, it's not a flat tire, or you can't just go out and change a tire. And if we can't fix something, a lot of times we don't know what to do. This episode is brought to you by Goalie. Did you know the University of Michigan did a study that found over 80% of apps for kids are designed to lure them into longer gameplay and more in-app purchases? Goalie decided it was time for this to end. Unlike the Kindle and iPad that have endless ads and potentially dangerous content, Goalie is a tablet with only apps that build independent kids. It has no web browser, no social media, and no ads, ever. It has award-winning learning apps like Khan Academy, Duolingo ABC, and Starfall, and the best part? It's completely parent-controlled. In my house, we use Goalie's kids calendar to teach my son how to stay on task. He learns life skills like how to make a sandwich by watching one of the hundreds of video classes, and can practice it by following along with one of the 50 pre-made routines. As a dad, there's no better feeling than knowing that my son is becoming more independent every day. For more information and to try Goalie risk-free for 30 days, visit getgoalie.com. That's getgoalie.com, and use the code theautismdad to save 10%.
Exactly. What, literally, it's a great segue, because in my book, I talk about the 2% rule. And when I talk about the 2% rule, I first talk about, I'm a black belt in Tung Sudo, which is a Korean-based martial art, a little bit of Chinese thrown in. But in every class, we start with the same blocks, kicks, punches. And synaptically, what you're doing is you're just creating muscle memory, but you're trying to improve every single time. And Bruce Lee has a great quote. He says, "Fear not the man that practices 1,000 kicks one time. Fear the man that practices one kick 1,000 times, because they become so proficient." I talk about what I call the 2% rule. My thought every day when I woke up, I'm going to find a way to improve my son 2%. But to your point, Rob, it could look way different. If when he was eating the beige diet, maybe that was introducing a new bit of food. You know, when he was learning to speak, maybe he was getting away from the echolalia, where he was just repeating me like a parrot and going, "Hey, let's get a conversation going," and forcing him to get more. If it's a child that can't speak, but they're doing it electronically, which I've seen, because I had a dad say to me, "I don't know what improvement looks like." I said, "You just heard it. Your son has a voice. Just because he doesn't speaking, I heard him on his box." I said, "That's beautiful. You just got improvement right there." So focus on, and the point being, and I go back to James Clear's book, Atomic Habits, the little improvements start to just mound up. So you have exponential improvement as you go. But you can't be myopic and to think, "Wow, my kid can't improve today." They can improve on one thing every day.
What do you think is the most important thing that you've learned, whether it's just as a parent in general or as a dad specifically, from like where you were when you first sort of were trying to wrap your head around that moment where you heard the diagnosis to where you are right now?
You know, a few things. The one thing I'll say is that, you know, it's been a 20-year journey at this point. And my son is on the spectrum. He can't hear out his right ear, so he has no right ear advantage. Your right ear hears quicker. He has Tourette syndrome, and he has primary ciliary dyskinesia, which means the cilia in his lungs don't function like you and I. It's issue. If God came down today and said, okay, I could yank one of these away, I would probably just give him his hearing. And the reason I say that, what life has taught me, is my son was a gift from God. He was handed to me for a reason. You and I, you know, you have three. God gave us a purpose. I love exactly who he is. I think when I talk to these parents now that are getting initially diagnosed, you get that sense of, I got to pull this away. I just wish they were quote unquote normal. No, 20 years later, I want my son exactly the way he is. He's a blessing. He's a ray of light. You know, I call him my happy hippie. It's not, when he comes down the steps every morning, it's not, hi, Dad. It's, hi, Dad. He's just, he lights up a room. So, you know, where I initially had that hunger to change him. I want to help him improve in life, but I have a better appreciation for who he is and these children in general. They're gifts. They were handed to you for a reason from God, and you should do everything you can to help them. The other thing, if you don't mind me throwing in, I boxed him and hit on the chin. I mentioned my martial arts background. I've the kumite, where you're fighting. My son, youngest one, Max, committed to play football for Allegheny College next year. He's a tough guy. I've watched these kids bench 400 pounds. These are tough guys with grit, but grit can be defined in different ways. And in looking at the catharsis that it was to write this book, the hours, doctor's appointments, therapists, I mean, going on and on and on. These kids are made of tough, tough stuff. I don't ever hear from anybody that my son isn't tough. I get emotional when I think of the hours that he put in with very little complaint when his peers and everyone might be outside. I remember the days therapy, my wife would be in here all day on a sunny day, and we had the biggest play set in the neighborhood in the back, which is good and bad at that time, because they'd all be back there with their mothers playing, and he was stuck in the house because we had to keep that therapy going, you know? So it's given me another appreciation for the grit and resilience that all these children, not just my son, all these children have.
Yeah, I can so relate to that, because all of my kids have overcome tremendous obstacles over the years. And a lot of those obstacles were things that, you know, I was told by the professionals that he would never be able to do. You know, and he has proven otherwise, or they have proven otherwise. So let's talk about the book a little bit. So it's called From Struggle to Strength. We sort of talked about what inspired you to write it, but like, what is the most important thing that you want people to take away from reading this or from your story?
So what you're going to find, and I want to light the inner fire with anyone reading this. And I don't care if you're a newly diagnosed parent, a battle-tested parent, or the best, Robin. I've talked to you about this. I'm so excited about the people that contacted me and went, I knew nothing about autism, but I want to read your book, or I've read your book. And that means a lot to me. But, you know, I want them to understand that it's a journey. And your child is solely dependent on you. And what I try to do is create the mindset, when you look at the Korean flag, which is part of the Tungtsudo logo, you'll see a fist, but you'll see the Korean flag. It looks like the yin-yang symbol, but it's called umyang. And what that symbol represents is duality of life, the ups and the downs. And what I try to explain in the book, you're not in for an easy path. I mean, you can't sugarcoat it, but what you have to understand is, as parents, you're leading this journey and your kids are relying on you. So what I try to touch upon is resilience and positivity. What I want you to do, and I touch upon it pretty heavily when I talk about the Ted Lasso effect. I touch upon a lot of that mindset, and I knew people would go, come on, it's all psychobabble, blah, blah. I said, no. Ted Lasso proved that positivity, caring, and optimism work. It changed the way people are leading companies. It changed the way people are coaching. I know this because I'm heavily involved in football and basketball recruiting for University of Pittsburgh. And it also changed the way people were parenting. And what was amazing about Ted Lasso, he didn't go in screaming, berating. He had a positive mindset on a daily basis. It improved the team and improved the community. You could do the same thing in your house. When you wake up every day, there's a section here even about self-care where I said, wake up and smile. It just unleashes endorphins in your brain. I want them to set every day and set the tone with a positive, resilient mindset. And I hit heavily on that in the book. At the end of the day, whether you have a neurotypical child or a child on the spectrum, legacy matters. It matters to me. When I'm in the grave, hopefully 150 years from now, I want my boys to look and go, Dad lit a fire under me every day. Dad was positive and he motivated me to be better. If these kids go through a very difficult day and they have a challenging life at times, they don't need your negativity as a parent. They need you to be uplifting and to light a fire under them. That's what this book is. Well, 50% of the book is about. And the other half, I had to tell my story because it's a pretty arduous story with my son. And, you know, he's currently a sophomore at Kent State University. His last 2 years in high school were fairly smooth. He had a high GPA. He had friends. He drove. And what we found, though, when he got to Kent is the struggles continue. You know, he struggled a bit academically, socially. So it reminded me that life with him is a marathon and not a sprint. But the point being, I will be there to support him every step of the way. The last words in my book are give him hell. And the reason I say that, I want to unleash that warrior spirit with every single parent reading this book.
Wow.
It's more about mindset. I didn't write a prescriptive how-to. That's for the doctors and everyone else.
Well, because I've always had this view of, you know, like the doctors and the professionals, they play a very important role on this journey for us, right? They help us to diagnose and open up doors, all that kind of stuff. But it doesn't always translate into practical everyday things that we can do to improve not only the lives of our kids, but ourselves and everyone else in the family. Because when you have a kid with autism, it's a whole family thing. I mean, it impacts everybody. And this is it's an incredibly easy read. It's what, like, would you say 140 pages? Something like that?
Yeah, like a little over 140. It's a 2-day read.
And it's practical everyday stuff to help you get motivated. And that's important because there are some days parents just struggle because they're exhausted. They go without sleep. They don't take care of themselves because they don't have the support or the services. And I'm huge into reframing things because I found even with ADHD, like being able to reframe something helps me to approach it in a different way. And, you know, lighting that fire or, you know, motivating your kids to be the best versions of themselves, you know, that's important regardless of whether your kid is autistic or not. I mean, we should be doing that for our kids anyways. And I'm super motivated. Like my book showed up, Monday, what did it say? Tuesday showed up Tuesday. And, I'm super excited to read it. I love the idea of everything that you're doing. And I think it's incredibly motivating. And I like the fact that it's another dad out there talking about this stuff. And you're very like honest about what your struggle was and how you overcame it and how you're approaching things and that you're making a difference in the lives of other dads who haven't found their path forward and you're helping them to find that. And that's so important because you cannot overstate the importance of that, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, Rob, and I want every mom listening to this to understand, I have immense, incredible respect for each and every one. But to your point, even when I wrote it, and my son's 20, it's not like he's two. I start Googling. There's really not a lot of voices out there for fathers. And sometimes, unfortunately, it takes a dad to break through the ego of another dad. So, like I said, I admire that you're willing to open up your, I know it wasn't easy for me writing the book. You're opening your life up to a greater audience. And you do this at an amazing level on a daily basis. But I think it's important just to kind of break through. I'm hoping that you and I and a few other fathers that are out there just break that immense thick facade and have more dads jumping in to help, you know. And I'm not saying, and by the way, there's some amazing, I'm connected to some amazing dads. I wouldn't imply that all of them. But boy, if we could get 5%, 10% of them to flip the switch and go, you know what, these two have it right, we've done our job.
Well, and then they take what they've learned and then they can help other people.
I tell my sons on a daily basis, in the game of life, you either play in the game or you sit on the bench. Rob, again, I'm going to go back to legacy. Don't sit on the couch. Go out. As you and I, right now as we're speaking, you and I both know this. Thousands of families are getting a diagnosis right now. Go help those people. Like, we need to start a daisy chain of love here, if you follow me. So go help others. I think it's so important.
Yeah. And you know, for me, it's become a purpose for the pain. It has given me, knowing that something positive can come from what I've experienced, is empowering for me. It's therapeutic for me. It helps me to find the strength to get up and keep moving forward on the days that are really tough. I mean, because there's days that are just really, really tough. And, you know, we deal with not only just the everyday life stuff that everybody deals with, but there is that layer of complexity where we have to think 10 or 15 or 20 steps ahead for everything, you know, because there's cause and effect. There are consequences for every decision that we make. And it's not always easy to predict how our kids are going to react or what they need, because that could be a moving target. And then you're competing, you're having to fight for everything for your kids, and they're having to fight for everything for themselves. And it's just it's a tough thing. So I love everything that you're doing. And I so appreciate the fact that you wrote this and we connected, because that's awesome. I'm super stoked to know you. And how can people find the book? Where's the best place to go?
It's on currently on Amazon. Again, it's called From Struggle to Strength: The Father's Journey with Autism and the Power of Hope and Positivity. Look for the gold boxing gloves. Again, I wanted that fighter spirit. Available on Amazon today. We launch on Amazon and Kindle. I will be doing the Audible version probably within the next month. And I want people to hear my voice. And I'm going to add to the Audible. It'll give me time to riff a little on each chapter. I'm going to add some things and go from there. But again, I just wanted to help people. And to hear that I am, I'm tickled pink. It's amazing. So thank you for having me on. You're the first of multiple podcasts having me on today. But I think this is all, especially the Autism Dad podcast. I mean, it's two warrior dads connecting. I appreciate that. And I'm available. If you ever need me in the future, let's just riff on a podcast.
It'd be a lot absolutely. Fun. Absolutely. I'll have the links to the Amazon. You can click on a link on the show notes and get the book if you guys want to do that. Or the Kindle is available too. So however you choose to read it. Thank you again for everything. I really, really appreciate it. And we'll definitely be in touch.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Appreciate everybody listening.
Before we go, I just wanted to take a moment and say thank you so much for taking the time to tune in and for all the support you guys have shown me over the last 7 seasons. I am so grateful and appreciative of each and every one of you. If you have found this useful or you just enjoyed listening, if you wouldn't mind taking a moment to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or whatever app you're listening to this on, or share it with your friends or whatever, it's a great way to support the show. Thank you. I really appreciate it. You guys can reach me at theautismdad.link. That's theautismdad.link. And we'll talk soon. Thanks. Bye.